Eufy is sponsoring today's video. They reached out to me. I tested out their video lock. It is a game changer. I'm going to paint a picture for you for why I'm so excited to work with them. So you're getting home, your arms are loaded with groceries or packages or boxes or everything, and your keys are in your pocket. This drives me nuts. This happens all the time. I upgraded to the Eufy video lock, fingerprint, tap, I'm inside. And honestly, I also feel way safer. It's got this awesome built-in camera. So whether it's a package delivery or late night Uber order, I see exactly who's there right from my phone. There are no more mystery knocks. And the best part, this thing was such a breeze to set up. There's no wires, there's no drilling. There's also no monthly subscription fees. So if you are done fumbling with your keys, because I definitely am, search for Eufy Video Lock or head over to eufyofficial.com/video lock. Your front door, your sanity. Welcome to the lessons episodes of Success Story. These lessons episodes will be shorter clips from past guests, accomplished value community members, and myself. In each short episode, we'll feature concise and insightful, actionable conversations and tactics, providing you with real-world strategies and tips to help you achieve your personal and professional goals. If you're seeking a no-nonsense approach to growth and progress, you've come to the right spot. Settle in, take notes, and enjoy. Attention residue. This is your new worst enemy. What does attention residue actually feel like? How do you figure out if it's actually impacting you? Hey, Scott here. Today, I'm going to teach you why attention residue is sabotaging your flow. Picture this, you've just started the day. You're just grabbing your coffee or your first port of call was to check Slacks or Teams or whatever it is for any urgent messages. It took a while, but you finally managed to clear your inbox. And now you're 1 hour into the first major task or the first major project that you have to complete that day. Your focus playlist is playing at the perfect volume. Keyboard is on fire. You're typing so fast. Thoughts flow seamlessly from your brain to the screen. It's the fabled flow state. Nothing can stop you now. But a thought suddenly occurs to you. What about those concert tickets you forgot to buy last night? Better get them now before they sell out. It'll only take a few minutes and then you can get back to work. There's a problem, however. When you've purchased the tickets and you turned back to your project, it feels as though your entire psyche has shifted. Which part were you up to again? What was that detail you wanted to remember for the next slide? And wait. Who else should you invite to that concert? Oops, it's safe to say that your flow state is gone for the rest of the day. So let's talk about exactly what's going on here at a psychological level. Attention residue. This is your new worst enemy. Now, if any part of that little opening sequence of events resonates with you, you're not alone. TeamSage found that 98% of the workforce gets distracted about 3 to 4 times each day. It's estimated that distraction costs U.S. businesses around $650 billion every year. So yes, distraction in the workplace is a huge problem. But why is it a problem? What's a quick phone check here or there, or a brief intermission to reply to messages on Slack? Listen, in my travels this week, internet travels, I stumble between, you know, all the different rabbit holes I go down. I stumbled across a concept called attention residue. It's a term that was first coined by Dr. Sophie Leroy, and it describes what happens when your focus on one task is interrupted, even if only for a few seconds. You find yourself trying to return to the same level of concentration as before. The issue here is that our brains don't switch tasks instantly. Instead, they linger over the previous job for some time afterwards. And even though you may have finished replying to messages or checking your phone, part of your mind remains focused on these activities. So Dr. Leroy calls this residue because of the way in which it builds up over time. The more frequently you switch tasks throughout the day, the more of this residue accumulates in your mind. As it builds up, so does your mental fatigue. So reaching flow state becomes next to impossible. Now let's go behind the science. it's actually very fascinating to dig into Dr. Leroy's research on this topic. She's been studying attention science for 17 years. That's a long time, and it shows her depth of passion for the subject. The good news is that she's unraveled a lot of mysteries in the space. We now know, for example, that attention residue reduces your effectiveness when working on complex projects, interferes with decision-making processes, and makes it more difficult to switch between tasks. In Dr. Leroy's own words, quote, you might not be as efficient in your work, you might not be as good a listener, you might get overwhelmed more easily, you might make errors or struggle with decisions and your ability to process information. This is the multitasking myth. You might have heard people say that multitasking is a myth, since our brains aren't designed to handle more than one task at a time. Attention residue is the concept proving this theory right. We create the illusion of multitasking by juggling several tasks, but in reality, we're just creating mental fatigue. For any neuroscience enthusiasts in the room, this piece of research explains that our frontoparietal control network and dorsal attention network are more active when we attempt to multitask. There's an increased demand on important mental systems, and most of the time, the demand is simply unsustainable. While engaging, these systems can partially mitigate its behavioral costs. Multitasking is not free. We pay a price in increased demand on these systems, and some performance deficit typically occurs. What makes this even trickier is the fact that when we quote-unquote multitask, we're under the illusion that we're getting more work done. Hint, no more work is getting done at all. Now, what does attention residue actually feel like? How do you figure out if it's actually impacting you? Because you might be listening to this thinking to yourself, I'm the exception to the rule. I really can multitask without going off the rails. If that's the case, and you're saying that, I'm sorry to break the news, you are probably just unaware of what's happening psychologically. Attention residue isn't always obvious. Sometimes it's as clear as day, you feel your brain fogging up as you switch from one task to the next. Other times it's more subtle and hard to pinpoint. You could be feeling overwhelmed or having difficulty making decisions. You might also feel frustrated because you're always starting tasks and never finishing them, or struggling to focus on something for a prolonged period of time. Some people experience strange energy slumps, even if they just had a coffee. In all likelihood, this is caused by attention residue, not just from multitasking, but from any distraction that interrupts your workflow. Now, let's add another layer to this, time pressure. And why time pressure makes things exponentially worse. An interesting piece of research in Dr. Leroy's arsenal is called, quote, tasks interrupted, how anticipating time pressure on resumption of an interrupted task causes attention residue and low performance on interrupting tasks, and how ready to resume plan mitigates the effects. This is a mouthful, but there's a breakdown. Attention residue comes into play anytime you switch from one point of focus to another. However, it doesn't affect everyone equally. It depends on the context of the tasks being completed. If you're distracted from an important task and you are aware that the distraction is weakening your chances of completing the main task, once you return to it, you might experience more attention residue than usual. That's interesting, right? The mere knowledge that you are on a time crunch can increase the amount of attention residue that your brain experiences upon returning to the original task. What's the solution? Create a ready-to-resume intervention plan. Now, it would be nice if we could all stick to one task consistently, but that's not the reality of the modern workplace. Your boss might come in with an urgent request, or you'll have to drop what you're doing for whatever reason. You might be in the middle of a project when a colleague or a mentee asks for help. So what can be done to reduce the effects of attention residue in these situations that you cannot avoid? In the same study as the one mentioned a couple seconds ago, Dr. Leroy and her team found that creating a, quote, ready to resume intervention plan can significantly reduce attention residue and improve performance on interrupting tasks. Essentially, this involves setting a clear goal before you switch to another task and creating a plan of action for when you return. You know exactly when you'll return to the task at hand, the pressure of time is removed, and you're more likely to get back to it with a clear head. For instance, say you estimate that the task at hand needs another 2 hours to be completed. Before you switch to the interrupting task, you can make a plan to resume work on the main task at least 2 hours before closing time. By creating this plan and clarifying your goals, you reduce the risk of attention residue. The same applies to any task that is interrupted. Set a goal before switching tasks and an end time for when you'll return. Attention residue is an additional threat if you're diagnosed with a certain medical condition, such as attention deficit disorder or attention deficit hyperdisorder. This is very stressful for you. Distractions are almost an unavoidable part of your day. So although this affects people that do not have these types of conditions, I still want to make sure that you have a game plan if you are affected by these types of conditions, because it affects everybody who does not have ADD and ADHD, but it significantly affects to a greater degree. And I don't want to give you the impression that there is no fix for this. So here's the thing. If you do have an additional complication, your attention span is like a muscle. It can be exercised and strengthened to function optimally. When the distractions come, and they will, you can't simply block them out, but you can control how you manage those distractions. For instance, instead of jumping straight over to your email inbox when you hear a ping, take a second to note down where you're up to in the current task and when you're going to return. Create an immediate return plan. The simple act of grounding yourself in the current task will help you switch back with more clarity. If a distraction is something that you can easily ignore, do so. You could even just turn off the sound on your phone, on your computer, so that you don't hear that ding. Don't let yourself be tricked into thinking that every distraction must be attended to immediately. So you architect your environment for you to succeed. There are some things that can wait, and if they don't need your attention right away, then leave them until later. Use strategic stimulation. You'll find it uncomfortable when your brain isn't stimulated enough, and that's when the distractions start to come. So stimulate yourself strategically by playing some binaural beats or using a standing desk. It's a challenge to go against the programming of your neural pathways, but remember that your attention span can be shaped, strengthened, and sharpened like a knife. Now, let's also add on another layer of complexity. But what if you're just addicted? Maybe it's not your colleagues distracting you. Maybe it's not Slack messages. Maybe it's TikTok or YouTube or Instagram. The truth is that many of us are hooked on the dopamine hit associated with social media use, and it can be hard to break free from this cycle. Seriously, studies exist that compare our addiction to social media with that of a drug addict. And then there's a theory called the goldfish effect. Studies are beginning to link social media use with lower attention spans, literally shorter than that of a goldfish. In other words, extensive use of social media is impacting our ability to focus on important tasks, and that can have serious implications for our productivity. Now, there are many rabbit holes that you can go down when trying to cut out social media use. I mean, you can download app blockers, you can delete accounts, you can even switch your phone into airplane or grayscale mode. But there's only one strategy I found effective personally, and that's physical removal. In other words, get your phone out of your workspace, out of sight, out of mind. So what's the takeaway out of all of this? Attention residue is a real problem, and it's one that can be managed or even conquered with the right strategies. It doesn't matter if your distractions come from external sources like colleagues or environmental factors, or internal sources like addiction to social media platforms. What matters is that you take proactive steps to manage them and use the power of your own focus to increase productivity. So just a question for anybody listening. Have you noticed the effects of attention residue in your own work life? If so, please leave some strategies that you have for managing it, because I can guarantee if you're dealing with this and you're watching this, there's other people that are watching this as well that would appreciate how you've architected a good environment so that this does not distract you. So if you do have some strategies, leave them in the comments below. If you are watching this on YouTube, hit like, hit subscribe. If you are listening to this, share it with somebody who'd find it useful. I know a lot of entrepreneurs listen to this show, and NetSuite has been a huge supporter for entrepreneurs, for business owners, because there's one thing that we all know. Business is about making money, and it's about your bottom line. And the less you spend on the nuts and bolts of running your business, the more profits you keep. But these days, everything is costing more. Supplies, people, shipping. It squeezes your margins, and I've been there, juggling multiple systems for finance, inventory, you name it, each with its own costs and its own set of headaches. That's why I made the switch to NetSuite by Oracle. It's changed our company. Think about it. NetSuite is one of the top financial systems out there. It puts your whole business on one platform: accounting, finance, the works. One data source for everyone. There's no more mismatched info. And because it's in the cloud, it slashes your IT costs. No more servers, no more updates. Just access NetSuite from anywhere. With one integrated suite, your overhead drops big time. And here's the real win: efficiency. Everything's connected in NetSuite. Costs are ridiculous lately. Find a proven way to reduce your expenses and get better performance out of your team. It's a no-brainer, and that's what NetSuite offers. Over 37,000 companies have figured this out already. You have to join them. Right now, through to April 15th, NetSuite's got an incredible, flexible financing plan. Check it out and see the savings yourself at netsuite.com/Scott Clary. That's netsuite.com/Scott Clary. Just a quick question. Have you ever had one of those oh no moments when you realize that you accidentally deleted a huge file? Or worse, your whole computer dies? I know I have. It's happened to me a lot, but don't sweat it. The sponsor of today's episode, Backblaze, they have your back. It is unlimited backups for all your Macs, your PCs, or even your whole company. And it's really affordable, under $100 a year. If you're running a business, they take the stress out of protecting everyone's data. If you need more bells and whistles for compliance, so on and so forth, they have enterprise options too. Honestly, losing data sucks, but Backblaze makes getting it back easy. They have restored billions of files. They offer tons of restore options, including rapid recovery in an event of data loss or ransomware. And you can access your backed up data from everywhere and anywhere in the world using their web app, iOS, or Android apps. It's been recommended by the New York Times, Inc., Macworld, PC World, LifeWire, Wired, Tom's Guide, 9to5 Mac, and tons more. And best, you can try it fully featured with no risk at backblaze.com/story. They set up that link for all Success Story podcast listeners. That is a no-risk free trial at backblaze.com/story. Seriously, back up your stuff. I don't know about you, but the idea of being harassed, scammed, or even worse, all because somebody found my personal information online, that's terrifying. Our political opinions, our addresses, even stuff about our families, it's out there for anyone to grab. And did you know that data brokers are allowed to sell information on over 98% of Americans? It's scary stuff. That's why I've partnered with Delete Me. I personally use Delete Me. They're a big friend of the podcast because I put myself out there online. So safety is a huge concern. It's really scary how easy it is to find someone's details and information, but Delete Me creates a layer of protection that we all need. You tell Delete Me what you want gone, and they make it disappear from those sketchy data broker sites. And Delete Me doesn't stop. They constantly monitor the web to keep your information off those lists. It's like having a privacy watchdog that never sleeps. You need to take control of your data and keep your private life private by signing up for Delete Me. They're giving a special discount for all Success Story podcast listeners. Get 20% off your Delete Me plan when you go to joindeleteme.com/success and use promo code success at checkout. The only way to get 20% off is to go to joindeleteme.com/success and enter code success at checkout. joindeleteme.com/success. Hiring as a small business owner is a major pain. That's why LinkedIn is supporting today's episode. You need people with the right skills and experience, but finding them can take forever. It is incredibly frustrating to keep seeing candidates who just aren't a good fit, and that's why LinkedIn Jobs has been a game changer. Let me tell you a little story. We needed to hire a graphic designer, somebody with specific tech and software knowledge and the ability to truly understand our brand. And I started with all the usual job boards, and it's the same old story. Tons of irrelevant applications. No one's really matching my needs. I tried LinkedIn Jobs, and the quality of candidates was just on another level. People with impressive portfolios, relevant expertise. I finally felt like I was interviewing the right people. That's truly the power of LinkedIn's massive professional network. You're tapping into this huge pool of talent you simply wouldn't find on other sites. It's about finding those niche candidates you actually need. And with the right people in front of you, hiring becomes a breeze. Did you know that 86% of small businesses find a qualified candidate on LinkedIn Jobs within 24 hours? That is how well their system works. Honestly, do yourself a favor and try LinkedIn Jobs next time you're hiring. You can post your job for free at linkedin.com/excellence. That's linkedin.com/excellence. Terms and conditions apply, but it's definitely worth trying out.